is October 6th, and this is Rivers in the Desert.
Good evening. Well, here it is, October already. We're coming into a wonderful harvest month. This is another month that you can start to harvest all the things that you've planted in your life or in your consciousness. This is a great time of year to do that. So, as we start tonight's class, I would like you to turn to this person, and we'll just go right around, and you say to him, I love and appreciate myself. God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself. God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself. God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself. God would be incomplete.
Love and appreciate myself. God would be incomplete without me. You tell him.
I love and appreciate myself. And God will be incomplete without me.
I'm great and I'm pregnant.
I love and appreciate myself.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
So
you may say it back to me. Say it to Rhoda. She
okay.
Can get it.
Hi, Rhoda. I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
Now, Rhoda. I'll help you with it. And this young lady, say to her, I love and appreciate myself.
I love and appreciate myself.
And God would be incomplete without me.
And God would be incomplete without me.
And now you say it.
I love and appreciate myself, and God would be incomplete without me.
Yes, good. The reason for this is, I have observed over many years in my practice, my private practice, too many clients come to me and they don't feel appreciated. They don't feel appreciated by their spouse, and they don't feel appreciated usually in their work. They think their boss doesn't appreciate them. They're not getting any appreciation in this world. So, if you know that you love and appreciate yourself, you have to also know that this thing called God loves and appreciates you. And if God loves and appreciates you, then all humanity has to love and appreciate you. So it is your mind conjuring that image up that you're not appreciated. And you allow that to build and build and build where it wrecks your life. This is a mental world we live in. And when your mind starts to tell you that you're not appreciated or you're not loved, you must correct that immediately and realize that you are appreciated and you are loved by the only power that counts and by the only power there is, the power of God. Once you realize that, you don't have to worry what other people are thinking about you. And once you start to know and appreciate yourself, then people will start to appreciate you. It's a mirror we're looking in. If you think you're not appreciated, you are putting that out, and the reflection is coming back to you, and it's coming back to you through other people, because it becomes a belief system, and it's a vibratory thing that happens, and it's a magnet, and it attracts whatever you're putting out. is attracted back to you. So if you think that you're not appreciated, or you think you're not loved, sit down and start appreciating yourself and loving yourself. Because the world that you live in, the reality that you live in, many people call it Maya, is a reflection. And you're always going to see or outpicture what you have in your mind and what you have in your mind about yourself. So you have to know, don't put all your power in somebody else's opinion. Why do you want people to appreciate you? If you want somebody to appreciate you, it must mean that there's a black hole someplace inside of you that needs to be filled up. And you're looking outside of yourself to have that hole filled. No, you must fill it. You must fill that hole by sitting down and learning to love and appreciate yourself. You see, it's a do-it-yourself project. That's what life is. I cannot do it for you, and no one else can do it for you. Everyone wants to run around fixing somebody, wants to help somebody and all. Not saying not to help people, but people have to help themselves. And God helps those who help themselves. So once you start to appreciate and really love yourself, you will see a whole different world out there. And people will respond to that. See, people only respond to what you're thinking about. They can't respond to anything else. If you don't love yourself, no one is going to come up and say, oh, geez, I love you. They may come up and say, you know, I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't love you. Because that's what's inside. That's what's inside of you. So that's what this teaching is about. Metaphysics is about looking inside of yourself, changing your thoughts and your feelings. Many times it's difficult to change our thoughts, but it is not difficult to change our words. I don't like myself. I like myself. And you do that till, hello, you do that till you convince yourself of that. Till you convince yourself of that. So that brings me to another little thing. Last week, Laurie asked, and she's not here tonight. Now, here are two things if you remember. Now, she can pick this up on the internet. Your mind will always keep you from hearing what you need to know. You have to watch all the time. Become very awake and very alert. You see, many people, when they're about to hear what they need, drop off, which we call a diving. The mind dives. They go to the restroom, or they don't show up for the class. So tonight I had something that Laurie needed to hear. She's not here. She will be here perhaps next week, or she'll get it on the internet this time. But it's very powerful, your mind. It will keep you from hearing what you need to know. So the thing with Laurie last week was about doing treatment work and affirmations. Treatment work, you're sending a message to God. You're asking God for something. And you ask for that intelligently. And you don't have to keep repeating that, because you never have to convince God about anything. I want this because blah, 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 blah. No. I want this. That's all you have to say to God. I want this. I desire this. And that's all. And you only have to do your treatment once. But you do it intelligently. You can write it down and look at it and see, does it make sense? Is it good? Is it this, that, and the other thing? So many people go around in circles when they're giving a treatment that poor God's confused. Doesn't know what exactly you want. You always have to ask for exactly what you want. Exactly what you want. And then you let that go, knowing that you'll get that or something even better. But once you do it, remember, it was the old thing I used to say, when you write a letter and you put the stamp on it, you put it in the envelope, or you put it in the mailbox, you forget about that because you know it's going to arrive where it's supposed to go. But you give a treatment to God and you say, I wonder if God heard me. I wonder if God got that. Maybe God was on vacation. Maybe it was God's lunch hour and he didn't get it. Maybe the secretary didn't give it to him. No. You give the treatment. The treatment works. You have to know that. That this thing called God is listening. And very intently to what you are thinking and what you are saying and what you are doing. But God is so polite that God never butts in. You must say to God, here's what I want. Show me the way. And then it will come to you. Then your job is to sit still. Now, when we say sitting still, what we mean is stop all that mind chatter that's going on. Sit still. And you will see the salvation of the Lord, which is translated metaphysically into law. Sit still. And the law of cause and effect will take care of that for you. But we like to mess around with all that. So the point is, be clear in your treatment. Ask for exactly what you want. Do it and release it with thanksgiving and praise. And forget about it, knowing that it is coming to you. If you keep looking and waiting and doing all this other stuff, you're telling yourself, I don't quite believe God's up to doing this. I don't quite believe God's up to doing this. So with the treatment, do it once, do it intelligently, release it with praise and thanksgiving, and know that it is done. It is done in that instant. All things are done in mind already. And your good is always on your pathway. You are not seeing your good because you have not opened to receive. All man is asked to do is open himself to receive. And we don't open ourselves to receive because we're not thinking nice things about ourselves. And what are the nice things we're supposed to think? I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And I'm open to receiving this. So along with the praise, along with the thanksgiving, say to yourself, I'm open. Look, God, here I am. I'm open. I'm open. And then go about your business. Now, the question Laurie asked was treatment and affirmations. Should I keep doing my treatments over and over and over and over? No. Should I do my affirmations over and over and over and over? Yes. Because with affirmations, you're talking to yourself. You're talking to your mind. And you're trying to change your mind. You see, you cannot change the mind of God, but you can change your mind. So you do affirmations till they become part of you. Till they become part of you. Treatment once. Affirmation till the cows come home. When I first started this, 30-some years ago, I was in the real estate business. I did affirmations all day long because I wanted to change myself dramatically. Perhaps I've succeeded. Of course, you didn't see me then. I was a mess. So I know that these work. But I would get in my car, and I would do an affirmation from one traffic light to the next, and at that next traffic light, I would change it to the next affirmation. I did that all day long. I did that all day long. Till I convinced myself that that were true. And then I was able to do that. Among the other things that I had been able to accomplish in my life, the drinking and the smoking and all that kind of stuff, the carousing I still do. I gave up that others. I always wanted to be a reader. I always wanted to read books. But I didn't read many books. Why didn't I read many books? Because somebody once told me that I was dyslexic. So there was your problem. So my affirmation was, I am a reader. I am a reader. I am a reader. Now, you cannot just go, I am a reader, and then not do something. You have to go out and purchase a book. You have to go out and purchase a book. And then you have to open that book, you see. So that was 30 years ago, maybe. Since then, I've probably read 10 or 12,000 books. I read every morning. First thing I do in the morning is make my two cups of coffee and sit and read for 1 hour. Because I am a reader. I am a reader. You see, you make your affirmation, and then you must take a step in faith. You must take an action step. Faith without action is dead. It will get you nowhere. You cannot sit and say, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich, I am rich, and then do nothing about it. You have to get up at least and go look at something rich. You have to get up and do something. It will not happen without an action step. Many people think that that's what this is all about, metaphysics. In the first or second chapter of Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, he states, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or get-rich-quick teaching. But you will become rich in consciousness, which will include the money, if you do your affirmation and then do an action step. And I still haven't brought extra little red envelopes, which I will perhaps get to Chinatown this coming week and see if we can get some for you. Because that whole idea of saving $1 or saving $5 or something is an action step. It's teaching you to become rich, you must save something. You see? And then it just builds on itself. It just builds on itself. Many people say, oh, my house is so dirty. Well, why don't you clean it? You see? You cannot sit and say, my house is clean, my house is clean, and then not get up off your derriere and run the vacuum sweeper. It won't happen, people. It will not happen. You see? This thing called God can only do for you what it can do through you. It has to be working through you, and you have to know that that power is working through you. So when you love and appreciate yourself, and when you know that this thing called God would be incomplete without you, your life will change. You see, God needs you as much as you need God. This is why we have that little saying, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to start believing that this is true. It is true. But you've been told all your life that it isn't, and then we live in a world which keeps telling us that. You see, the world wants to teach opposites. This is not a teaching of opposites. It's a God-oriented teaching, teaching you that God is the only power there is. That God is not only the source, but the supply of your good. And this is where many people run into trouble. Because they think God and source, you see, or God and supply. Anytime you have A-N-D in anything, it's separation. It's always going to be God as source, supply. Source supply. You see? So people pray to God, and then they're looking for the source. Where is it? Where is the money going to come from? Well, the money is going to come from God. God is the gift and the giver. The gift and the giver. Always going to be one. Always going to be one. Okay? So learn to love and appreciate yourself. Know that it's a mental world and that you are causing your own reality. Nothing has ever come into your existence, into your reality, uninvited. You have invited everything into your life. And you have done that with your thinking. So learn to love and appreciate yourself. Learn to realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. Just stand here. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So important to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Think about all of that every day, all day long if you have to, and give up that idea that you're not appreciated, or that people don't respect you, or this, that, or the other thing. Whatever you're thinking, you have to realize that the only enemies that you have, and the only foes that you have, are those of your own making. Everything, every enemy that you have, is inside of your mind. It's inside of your thinking. You can say, oh no, my boss does that to me. Oh no, this happens. Oh no, it's the traffic. Oh no, it's the money situation. Oh no, it's this. Oh no, it's my wife. It's my mother-in-law. It's this, that, the other. None of that is true, people. You can live in that life if you want. But that's not a good way to go through life. Once you realize that you are causing all those things by the way you're thinking about it, you learn to change your thinking. And you see, those people aren't nearly as bad. And when you change your thinking about those people, they change. Does anyone remember why that is true? I will tell you. Because you're looking in a mirror. You keep forgetting that. The mind loves to cause separation. And it sees separation all the time. So it's always going to blame something outside of itself. The mind will always come up with an excuse that it wasn't your fault. You have to learn that everything is your fault. Take responsibility for everything. And that's without shame, blame, and guilt, and all that kind of stuff. You say, whoops, I made a mistake, or oops, I like what I did. And then you repeat that. But the mind will not remind you that you're looking in a mirror. You see? When you say, I hate that person, oh, that rotten son of a gun, you're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself. There's no one else out there, people. I know you think I'm out there, don't you? But I'm really in you. There's nothing outside. How many people point the finger? You see what happens when you point the finger? Three point back at you. You never can point a finger. Three always point back at you. You have to know that. You have to know that. This teaching, as I said before, very easy, very simple. But it's giving up all those old ideas that you heard since childhood. All the ideas you're now hearing from the world outside, from that thing that we call race mind, which is telling you right now, But everything seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. You have to know that that's not true. Why is that not true? Because God is the source and the supply that you're looking for. Not the stock, come in. Not the stock market. So, nothing is going on the outside of life. Everything is going on in the inside of life. And at the present moment, what's going on the outside world is fear. Don't buy into fear. Fear is merely inverted faith. Isn't it nice, too, they both start with F? It's just inverted faith. You're believing in fear. You're believing it. Stop believing it. Nothing can stay in your life if you don't believe it. If you want to get rid of anything in your life, stop believing it. And it just goes away. Because you're creating that. You're creating that. Okay, so tonight's topic, or for the month, is rivers in the desert. And I wrote a little thing here about that. No matter how impossible the situation seems, infinite intelligence knows the way out. No matter how impossible the situation seems, infinite intelligence knows the way out. You have to use this thing called God. This thing that we call the infinite intelligence, the only life, the only power, the only mind. You have to know that any situation, the situation that the world's in at the present moment economically, do you think anyone in Congress said, what would you do, God? No, because they all have big swelled heads and they all say, well, I have a degree in economics and I have this and I have that, so here's how it's going to work. Well, so far, as you notice, it hasn't worked. Always ask God. Always ask God. How would you do this? How would I do that? You see? You ask this power. And then know that the power listens to you. Instantly. It listens. You have to know that. You see? So the whole idea is, you see, we're always living in a desert. And we call this city in this California, Southern California, desert. We call L.A. a desert. Now, very few people realize that Los Angeles is not a desert. It never was a desert, and it's still not a desert. It's becoming more like a desert because of the construction that's going on around here. Years ago, there were many little rivers, little streams, creeks, all through Los Angeles and all through Los Angeles County. They have been hidden and put underground by construction. Well, we can't have that there. That would flood the parking structure. Let's bury that, move it, and change it more. So we have coated over most of the water that's here. So now we think we live in a desert. And this is what we do all the time with everything. As soon as a problem comes, they say, well, I'm in the desert, so there's no water. There's no water. Water here, what is water? Metaphysically, does anyone know what water is? No, you don't, I'll tell you. Water is always mind. Water is always referred to as mind. The ancients always used water. It's mind, or it's God itself. So in the desert, there's always God. There's always water. There's a wonderful program on, and I forget, I think the desert was in somewhere in Mexico or Central America, and it is truly a desert. But people lived there for thousands of years, and they just now, because of satellite imaging, have been able to figure out how that could happen and how that could occur. What they have found is these ancients were able to have water all through the desert with little channels that they built way down, which came out of the mountains and all, and that they had made that whole thing fertile. They had made that whole desert fertile. And this is what we do with our lives. Don't think that you're ever in a desert. If you think you're in lack and limitation of any type, if you think that you're in disease of any type, any discordance that's going on with you, put you in a desert. And then you look around and you say, oh, I'm in this desert. Nothing's here, nothing's living, nothing's there. You have to know that there's a river in that desert, that God is in that desert. Water is a life force. It was Ansel Adams said, if there is such a thing as a miracle, it has to be water. We can't live on this planet without water. You see, that's why the ancients thought it was God. Because water always seeks its own level. Water will penetrate anything. Water will wear anything down. And that's what you have to think of with God and the mind of God. And what is this power? Think of it as water. And it is always seeking its level. It's always coming through you. It's always penetrating you. Water will penetrate anything. Water is non-resistant. Water is very powerful. It has all the qualities, you see, of this thing we call God. But it is not God. You see. But everything is God. You see. There is the mystery always. You see, we cannot pinpoint God. God is always going to be beyond thoughts and words. Anytime that you start to describe God, anytime that you think that you know God, you have limited God. You see, people want to study God. They want to go to all these little things, and they want to know who God is. Well, you're never going to find out who God is. We cannot say infinite intelligence. We cannot say infinite and use the word infinite and then start to make it finite. And as soon as you start to describe it, you start to make it finite. So we know bits and pieces of God, but we know enough bits and pieces to make it work. How many people here know how their car runs? I haven't the faintest idea.
Car.
But you don't know how your car runs. You know you put a key in, you turn it, and it goes someplace. That's all you need to know, isn't it? And you get to where you want to go. But yet you think, oh, well, God can't answer my thing, and God can't do this, and that's why I know every little bit and piece about God. Well, you're not going to. But you know enough to make God work for you. And what do you know about God? That God always listens to you. God always wants to give you what you want. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. These are the things you need to know. You don't really need to know anything else about God. Now, we may learn more and more as we experiment with this thing called God. But we'll never know it all. You know. Throughout eternity, we're not going to know it all. And that is where the problem comes in. Because we can't get ourselves out of the way and let God do the work. You see. Move yourself out of the way. Admit to yourself. I have to admit to myself all the time. I don't know a damn thing. I don't know what I'm doing. But God, I know you do. And I know that you're going to take care of me. Why? Because you'd be incomplete without me. Why? Because you love and appreciate me. Why? Because I'm one with you. And you're one with me. You see? That's how you do it. That's how you build up a consciousness of believing. A consciousness that you no longer worry. Where you're no longer concerned. Where you know that you're taken care of. You have to know that you're going to be taken care of. Years ago in the human potential movement, they used to do that trust thing where you fell backward and somebody's supposed to catch you to teach you that somebody would. This is what you have to do with God. You have to be able to fall backwards and know that God's going to catch you. You see. But we have those doubts, don't we? How many people remember from the Bible your everlasting arms? Your everlasting arms are, God's everlasting arms are always there to catch you. You see. But we forget those things. We think we live in a desert. And we think our life isn't what it's supposed to be. But in that desert, there's always going to be a river. And you're going to find that river. And that's the whole idea. Don't judge by appearances. Don't judge by a surface. Look out there. Oh, that's just desert. There's nothing there. You see? You think the Arabs do that when they look at the desert? They look at that desert and they say, oh, money. They don't see sand. They see black money. You see? This is what you have to do with your life. If you think you're living in a desert, you have to say, huh, there's water here someplace. There's a river here someplace. And I'm going to find that and I'm going to tap into that. And that river, that force, is inside of you. But we're constantly looking for it on the outside of life. There is nothing on the outside of life. It's always going to be a mental world. And you're always going to be the cause under your own experience. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking riches, opulence, prosperity, abundance? Or are you thinking lack and limitation and living in a desert? You see, the whole idea of metaphysics is to raise your consciousness up so that you don't see a desert, up where you see the river, where you see the water, where you see nurturing. You see, you have to know you're being nurtured all the time. How many people during the day may not feel quite right? A little tired. Maybe a little headache. Maybe this, an ache, a pain. Do you immediately say, the life of God is coursing through me, and this pain is no more? This tiredness is gone. The body never gets tired, people. Only the mind gets tired. The body has no causation of its own. Give that idea up. So you have to use God every minute of every day. If I get up some mornings and I'm not feeling quite right, I immediately say, the life of God is coursing through me and I am in perfect health. By the time I had my second cup of coffee, I could conquer the world. It's gone. Now, that's because I use that power. And it's also because I don't connect with the other vibration of illness or sickness. You see, as soon as you recognize illness or sickness, you start to combine with it. And you start to become it. You have to combine with God and become God. The whole purpose for being here on this plane of action is for you to become, for you to come to the realization that you truly are God. That is what you're here for. There's an organization in town. I think there's three or four places around. It's other places. It's called Self-Realization. People want to become self-realized. And they think that means a job, of course. Some potential in them. But now I realize who I really am. CEO of some big company or whatever they're thinking. Self-realization means you have to realize that you're God. You have to realize that you're creative. You have to realize that you're doing it. You have to realize that you're doing your world. You have to realize that you're creating this world that you're living in. That's what self-realization means. Completely different from self-actualization, by the way. Self-actualization is a completely different thing. But self-realization is coming to that realization that you are one with this thing called God. And then being able to use that. Being able to look at a desert and say, ha, but I know there's water here. That means that anything that you look at, you have to say, ha, there's an opportunity here. Why is there always an opportunity in everything? Because God is in everything. And as soon as you see something that doesn't look like a good thing, you say, oh, nothing there. Nothing there. So you can't say there's nothing there because God is everywhere. There's not a spot where God is not. So anything that you're looking at God. I don't care if it's junk, doo-doo, or whatever you're looking at, it's God. And you have to know that. There's no thing. There's nothing outside of God. You say, you can't have God and doo-doo. You can have God as doo-doo. So everything you look at, you have to see the opportunity in that. You have to say, ah, God's in here someplace. Let's scratch this away. How many people for years, garbage was just garbage. No opportunity in that. Do you know how many people have become billionaires by picking up garbage and starting garbage companies and big garbage trucks and all that? There's God in everything. There's opportunity in everything. And there's always a river in the desert. There's always a river in the desert. So we have to train ourselves to see that and to start believing that. And not believing what the world is constantly telling us. You're saying, divorce yourself from that type of thinking. Stop watching the television set. Nothing on that television set of worth anything. Somebody was telling me about the news and that you can rely on that particular, whatever it was, news thing. There's no honest news going on out there, people. It's all slanted. There's no honest news going on out there. No one is telling you the truth about anything. But you must know the truth about yourself. And the only truth there is to know is that you're one with God. The only truth is that you're one with God. Have a fixed idea that God's power is the only power. And that God's plan is the only plan. Have a fixed idea that God's power is the only power. We have to work on that. It's called practicing the presence of God. And you have to realize that that's the power and the only power. But we say, oh no, it's this, it's something else. It's always going to be God. Remember years ago I told you, there's only one problem ever. It's a God problem. People come to me all the time. They think they have tons of problems. I don't tell them that's not a problem. Because I know there's only one problem, a God problem. So I always treat for that. Works every time. There's only one problem. If you're having a problem, it's a God problem. You're not connecting to God. You're not connecting to that power. You're not allowing yourself to receive. You're not allowing yourself to receive. You see, we have been taught for centuries that it's more blessed to give than to receive. My father used to tell me that constantly. And now we know that that's not true. You say it's just as blessed to receive and to open yourself. And people can't open themselves to receive the grace of God. They can't open themselves to receive this power. They want this power, but they can't open themselves to it. And you open yourself when you know that you're loved and appreciated, and that you love and appreciate yourself, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are the things that you work on to open your consciousness so that this thing called God can flow through you. See, God always has to come through you, not to you. Many people want God to come to them. God's not going to come to you. Give that idea up. But God can come through you. And you see, people want to draw God to them, to them, to them, to them. No, through them, through them, through them. They get that wrong every time. And that's taught by the world. To work with God's power, you must give right away and still the reasoning mind. To work with God's power, you must give right away. You must give God the right away. And you must still the reasoning mind. The reasoning mind is the mind who keeps saying it can't be done. Oh, you can't do that because of this, this, this. It's not the right time. It's not the right season. You can't have a da, 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 da. That's called the reasoning mind. That's this little finite mind that you have. And it just will not, or the ego, it wants to reason you out of something. Very seldom will your mind ever reason you into something. If you come up with an idea, the mind will immediately give you five reasons why it can't be done. Try it. It'll immediately come up with five reasons why it can't be done. You must train it to come up with 10 reasons why it can. But you have to train your mind. Remember, the whole idea is to learn to think the thought that you want to think and learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. It's all done with controlling your thinking. Controlling your thinking. And that's the power that you have. And once you learn to think God thoughts after it, all else will be added onto you. Be strong, fear not. Fear is man's only adversary. Fear is man's only adversary. So here again, if you realize you only have one adversary, one problem and one power, you're only working with one of things. See, the mind always wants to make things so complicated. So anything that's happening to you, it's happening to you out of fear. And as soon as you have fear, you've lost your faith. When you lost your faith, you cannot connect to this thing called God. So just recognize that and say, oh my goodness, I'm in fear. Well, I don't want to be in fear anymore. And then do an affirmation that will bring you back to center, that will bring you back so that this power called God can come through you. See, it can't come through you when you're loaded with fear. And fear is taught by the world. Fear has nothing to do with God whatsoever. Infinite intelligence knows the way out, the way out of anything. Infinite intelligence knows where the supply is for every demand. Infinite intelligence knows the supply for every demand, knows where that supply is, and is willing to give it to you, to bring it to you. This is why we use that wonderful expression, money is never the issue. Today we think $700 billion is a lot of money. Well, that's hard. It's like trying to figure out God. Who can figure out $700 billion? I mean, my God, the zeros must be awful. But it's all made up, people. Don't worry about it. But we go right through that. The supply is there somehow. The supply is always going to be there to do that.
you see. So don't get into fear about that. Realize there's always plenty of money. There's always plenty of supply that you can't say, I live in an abundant, prosperous universe, and then be afraid of what's going on out there. That is not the way we build an economy. That's not the way we build our consciousness. We build our consciousness with faith. And we realize at this very moment that God is active in our life and in our world. And if other people want to live in that world of lack and limitation, in this world now that they think financially is crumbling, let them live in that world. You do not have to get on the bandwagon with them. You see? You don't have to. Just withdraw yourself and say, no, this is what. You know, for centuries, civilization was held together, and all knowledge was held together by monks in monasteries that allowed the world to whirl and war around them. And they never got involved with that. They just kept on doing what they did. They just kept on doing what they did. If they would have gotten involved, they would be gone. They never got involved. Think of yourself as a monk with your own monastery. And live in that monastery. I think of my little house that I have, my house, it's a condo, as my little monastery, my little sanctuary. And I love running home to that. And I sit there, and I realize all this stuff's going on around me. But I let it go on around me. I'm sitting in the center, very still, calm, collected, and peaceful. I don't bring it home with me. I don't bring it home with me. Many people have been to my home, and some of them have used the little thing. You have to go under the freeway to get to my little place. Tunnel. At the beginning of the tunnel, I left the world. And as I come through the tunnel, I don't drag the world with me. It can go on and circle and do all at once outside. I drive through the tunnel, come home. I'm in my sanctuary, in my monastery, where there is peace, serenity, love, beauty, all the things that I want to be about. All the things that I want to be about. Let the world be about what it wants to be about. What do you want to be about? And if you think at the present moment that you're living in a desert because you're in any type of lack or limitation, you think your funds are being dried up and all that, remember, there's a river there. Find that river. Find your own river. There's always a river in the desert. Well, we did this one. Remember, your only enemies are within yourself. Your only enemies are within yourself. Stop looking outside of yourself for an enemy. Stop looking outside. Look inside. What am I thinking? Why is this coming to me? It has to be coming to me because of my thinking. Listen, people. You cannot be in metaphysics and not start to realize that it's your thinking that's doing everything. That's what metaphysics is all about. Change your mind. Change your life. So, you have to say, I'm going to check myself out first before I go outside to check anything else out. What is going on inside of me? What old hurt, grudge, resentment, hatred am I holding on to? What am I not forgiving? Who am I not forgiving? And it's usually going to be yourself, by the way, people. You will not forgive yourself for something stupid that you did. It was just something stupid. I've done tons of stupid things. But I'm not stupid. But I am not stupid. Stupid can be fixed. Ignorance is forever. You are not stupid people. We've all done something stupid. Forgive yourself, for goodness sakes. Remember, if you don't, you're going to have to keep doing it throughout eternity. Might as well make up your mind to do it now. You know, you want to suffer another 2,000-3,000 years? Does that make sense? You know, I'm not quite ready to give it up. I think I'll wait another 1,000 years and then I'm going to give that one up. I haven't suffered enough, you know. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, we have in this world. We like to think that we have to suffer because they put that man called Jesus on a cross and they said he suffered. I think he suffered, they maintained, about 3 hours. And look how many people were suffering. 30, 40, 50, 60 years in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do in the next lifetime, in the next lifetime, in the next lifetime? Give it up. Give it up. You're waiting for somebody to say you're okay. You're waiting for somebody to forgive you. No one can forgive you. I cannot forgive you. God cannot forgive you. No church can forgive you. Only you can forgive yourself. Only you can forgive yourself. What is the big deal? Look at the wonderful thing. You know, I always think of this thing of being able to forgive yourself as that get out of jail free card that you got in Monopoly. You know, I have tons of them. I use them all the time. Oh, there's my free card. Get out of jail. Whoops. Forgive myself. Oh, forgive myself. You see, your mind likes to keep telling you, oh, you can't do that. Give yourself a free pass. A free get out of jail card. Because that's where you are. If you haven't forgotten yourself, you're in a mental prison. And you're in a prison of your own making. So, just visualize. There it is. My get out of jail free card. Thank you. You see, you think things are so difficult. Things are so hard. And you have to go be on your knees for 20 years praying to this thing called God. God never holds anything against you. God never holds anything against you. Okay. God cannot forgive you because God has never condemned you. God has never condemned you, and God will never condemn you. Why? Because you're part of God. All that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is. You see, God would be incomplete without you. We did this one too. Nothing has ever come uninvited into your life. Oh, how did I get this? Oh, what did I get? Well, you did it with your thinking. You did it with your thinking. Metaphysical teaching. Thinking, thinking, thinking. What you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. It's not all this other trappings that people want to take metaphysics and build it into a church. They want to take metaphysics and start making rituals out of it. And they want to start yelling and screaming with music and drumming drums and doing all that. All well and good. But it's going to boil down to, what are you thinking? What are you thinking, and what are you thinking about yourself? That is what metaphysics is about. It's knowing that you have a power. With your words, with your feelings, you are creating your reality. You have to know that. Nothing else is doing it. The instant you ask infinite intelligence, the instant you ask, comma,
infinite intelligence knows the way of fulfillment. That is another thing that you have to know. In Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes says, once you make a treatment, you have to realize that whatever is needed to make that treatment come true, even if it's hidden in the darkest, deepest part of Africa, is on its way to you now. It's on its way to you now. See, when you get a treatment, you have to know that everything is coming together. And it's on its way to you now. And then you sit still in thanksgiving and gratitude. And it comes to you. You have to become still. You have to move yourself out of the way and give this power the right of way. The right of way. Your life is out-pictured by the sum total of your subconscious beliefs. Your life is out-pictured by the sum total of your subconscious beliefs. What are you believing? And what are you believing about yourself? Do you hold yourself in the highest of esteem? Do you appreciate and love yourself? Do you know that you're whole and complete and perfect? Do you know that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? These, by the way, are the things that do matter in life. Because it doesn't matter what the trappings are on the outside. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars that you have. And I know people with lots of money in the millions. And they are not happy people. In fact, they're dreadful people. And they're living in this world and they're living their life as a soap opera. And they think that that is absolutely the way life is. And it is not. There is a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life. And if you learn metaphysics, you will be able to do it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.